Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Love is a great motivation. People do things because they love God, because they love you, because they love the church, because they love their family. They do good things. But faith is a great motivation because it says so many things. It says that God is. It says that God is here. It said God knows. God's looking. It just makes everything present. Now, faith, he said. So there's not much better discipline of behavior than faith. It causes us to do right and productive things in our life. Faith is the substance. That word is very important. Faith is the substance. Faith is the concrete. Faith is the pillar. Faith is what you're going to build on. If you build on anything besides faith, something in life will come along and what you have built will crumble. The Bible just talks about all kinds of faith. Great faith, little faith, no faith, small faith, all kinds of faith. But all of us have certain degrees of faith in our life. We have what we call flash faith. What I call flash faith. What is that? It's like adrenaline faith. Most of you have read about somebody that is in a dire circumstance. Maybe they're working on a car with a friend and the car falls off the jack and falls on the person, and that person supernaturally lifts that automobile till that person can get out from under that car. It's a rush of adrenaline that you do something just for the moment that you could never repeat, that will never happen again in your life. Many people have faith, flash faith, or adrenaline faith, just those rushes at moment in a time of tragedy, in time, and I do not belittle that in any way, but I do warn you that that is not the great substance of faith the Bible is talking about. Jesus talked about that flash faith, that adrenaline faith, in Mark chapter 5, verse 14. He's speaking to the woman, or to the man, rather. Remember the man had been laying there all those years at the pool? And Jesus came walking up to him and said, "Will you be made whole?" And he said, "I have no man to put me in the water." And the angel comes and Jesus said, "Thy faith has made you whole." It's a great story. I've preached on it many times. But there's an addendum to that story that Jesus saw this same man later in the temple. Of all places, he ran into him on a Wednesday night at church. He said, "Oh, by the way, buddy," he said, "it's good to see you. You're not laying at the pool anymore. Glad to see that you're up walking around, that your health has been restored." But then the Bible said this: after Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." What he was saying, that adrenaline faith you had for that moment was awesome. But now you need a lifestyle faith that's going to maintain you, that that doesn't return or something worse doesn't come. Jesus wasn't saying God's going to put something worse on you or I'm going to cause a curse to come upon you. If the wages of sin are death, certainly the side effects of sin are very, very negative. And Jesus is just addressing that. Faith, sin is its own discipline. Faith, sin brings things that are negative into your life. And so Jesus warns him, you need to get a lifestyle of faith. Live in a way where you can go from faith to faith, victory to victory, joy to joy, promise to promise, power to power. Live a lifestyle that is victorious. Faith can increase or decrease. Jesus said to Peter, "I pray for you that your faith will not shrink." That's a terrible possibility, but a possibility it is, that your faith can decrease, that your faith can become smaller. I've observed that in many people in my life. But when I talk to you about a faith that you can build your life upon, these are principles that you can build your life upon. Faith is more than a feeling. Faith is more than an emotion. Faith is actually a series of principles, things that you base your life on, and they don't change. They stay with you from the moment you have an envisionment of them and you grasp them. and they come to your life. They stay with you all the days of your life. I'd like to look a little bit, not too much in detail because it'd take too much time, but look a little bit at Joseph's life and see how he embraced so many things in the principles of faith. They sustained him because here was a man that went through tremendous turmoil in his life, but yet was tremendously victorious. Number one, this is a faith principle. If you will get it in your spirit, it will help you deal with adversity that will come to you regularly. Adversity comes to all of us. Trials come to all of us. All of us are attacked. Negative things happen to everybody. But this is one of the things and one of the key things you need to get early in your spiritual experience. And that is that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11, the King James Version, said it this way, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." New translation said this, the NIV said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." I believe that God has plans for me. Now, this is a principle of faith that you need to get in your spirit. It's for the young and it's for the old. When you're just a young person getting started in life, to know that God has got a road map. The Bible teaches that our steps are ordered of the Lord, that God has a plan, God has a goal for you. It's a wonderful motivation. It's also just as equally encouraging when you get older and people start looking at you and saying, well, it's over for him, it's over for her. And you say, no, it's not over. It's not over. That God is not anticlimactic, that my last years will be my best years because God has a plan for me. Becky wrote the great song about I Still Have a Future. That was from a sermon that I preached, but it was also from Ann Cakey, our sister's wife, when she got cancer and recovered from that cancer. But during the ordeal of receiving that miracle, she said to Becky, she said, one of the worst things that happens is that people just look and say, you're older. You might as well just succumb to cancer. You've lived long enough. And people will do that to you. And the devil will use good people to do that to you. Well, it's over. You've already achieved everything you're going to achieve. But you've got to get the motivation. And you've got to get a faith plank in your life. A platform in your life. A substance in your life. That God has a plan for my life. And when Joseph realized that God had a special plan for his life, he gave him that great dream. He just knew that he was going to do something mighty for his family, for himself, for his nation. And so it motivated him through terrible, terrible things. Everybody has to have a dream. What is the dream that you have? Your dream should coincide with God's plan. If you've got one dream and God's got another plan, it's not going to be very good for you. But if you can find out what God's plan is for you, you know, it wasn't hard for me to figure out that God's plan for me was not to be a rock star or a country music singer or an opera singer. It wasn't hard for me to figure that out. When you just have no aptitude for something, you can eliminate it. You find out a lot of things by eliminating things out of your life. That's not what God's called me to do. You know, I've never had a problem. People say, I'm just waiting for God to open the door. I'm usually waiting for God to close the door because there's so many doors there, I don't know which one to walk through. And I say, wait just a minute, God, shut all these doors so the one open is the one that I know is your plan for me. And if I walk through that door that is your plan for me, praise God, it's going to be victorious. But when you've got all kinds of negativity surrounding you and people criticizing you and saying things about you, if you are assured that God's got a plan for your life, it'll just roll off of you like water off a duck's back. And you say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. Me and God have got a plan. My dream is His plan, and this is going to come to pass. That's the number one principle of faith that you need to get established in your life. Number two, God will use variety that we will not understand to advance His plan for us. Now, we like to look at everything, and we like for everything to be reasonable. We like for everything to be logical. We don't like for anything to look different than we think it should. No diversity, just a straight line. Many times, God's plan for us is not a straight line. It's zig, zag, zig, zag. But God has a plan. And so it's a principle. It was a principle in Joseph's life. I'm going to go through lots of things. Lots of things are going to happen to me, but it is not going to diminish my dream, nor is it going to convince me that God's plan has ended for my life. And so you have to realize that there's a lot of variety, a lot of different things are going to happen to you. And it literally becomes a principle of faith for me. I'm just talking about things that have become principles of faith. I know, number one, God has a plan for me. And number two, I know that God's going to use all kinds of different things. Some of the things I won't like. Many of the things I won't understand. But I am convinced that God is in it. Romans 8:28, I believe, was a real plan, was a real plank in Joseph's faith. It was a real principle, and it certainly is in mine, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Joseph found himself in a pit. Joseph found himself totally kidnapped and taken away from his father's house. Joseph found himself in a prison. But all of these were stepping stones to the palace that God had promised Joseph. Somebody in this building right now is in a pit, but you're just a few days away from being promoted. Some of you are in some kind of a prison, but you're just a few days from being promoted. But you've got to be, while you're in that pit, while you're in that prison, you've got to be able to convince yourself, God still has a plan for my life, and all things are going to work together. As crazy as this seems, this somehow is going to work out for my good. Somehow God is going to use this. I'll never forget one brother preaching, Brother Tim Story, preaching in our church, in the old church, 30-some years ago. I don't know whether you know who Tim Story is. He considers himself pastor to the stars out in Hollywood. Like he's the bounty hog, the bounty hunter. Or what's that? Dog the bounty hunter. You know who that is? He's his pastor. I'm not sure I would brag about that, but Tim does. Tim's a good guy. I see him every once in a while. But anyway, he preached an amazing sermon that I've never forgotten. It's been 35 or 40 years ago. He preached this in our church way over here next door. And he preached on what do you do when you're in the pit. Do you know what you do when you're in the pit? Read the wall. He said everybody that's anybody, everybody that's great has been in that same pit. He said, I read about that pit. He said, I see Joseph in that pit. I see David. He said, I find what David. And he said, I even found where Jesus wrote on the wall when he was in that pit. Everybody's in the pit. Just because you're in a pit does not mean that God is not going to use that to promote you to the position that He has designed for your life. Number three, the number or strength of our enemy is totally insignificant. That's hard for us to grasp. Just being fleshly people like we are, if there's enough people against us, if the enemy is big enough, you see, that was the key to David's success, was he did not let the size of Goliath affect his integrity with God. Everybody else in Israel did. If Goliath had been a pygmy, somebody else would have defeated him. But the fact that he was so big messed with their mind. But David recognized that he had something that Goliath did not have. What did he have? He had a covenant. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, you don't have a dream. God doesn't have a plan for your life because you've never given your life to God. God has a plan for my life, and one of God's real things that He's going to use is He's going to take me as a little shepherd boy and let me be a giant killer, and that's actually going to be what is going to propel me under the throne of Israel. friend the very thing that we hate and say, why is this happening to us? Many times it is what God is using us and what God is using to bring us to the place that He has for us. Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That is literally a principle of faith that you can build your life on. It doesn't matter if there's a whole group of people, everybody in your company. Praise God, God has a way of circumventing all of those gainsayers, all of those critics, all of those negative people. God has a way. When God's got a plan for your life, hell can't stop it. Earth can't stop it. Man can't stop it. The devil can't stop it. Adversity can't stop it. People can't stop it. Circumstance can't stop it. Money can't stop it. When God gets ready to promote you, praise God, all of hell will waste their resources trying to stop you. But praise God, if God is for you, who's against you? It just does not matter. In 1 Samuel 14:6, I've always loved this verse. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. You know, the Israel was really big on that word uncircumcised. When they came against the enemy, that was one of their biggest racial slurs. You uncircumcised Philistine. Well, I don't want us to engage in racial slurs, but it doesn't hurt you to remember that you are circumcised. In other words, you have a covenant that the Johnny-come-latelys of this world does not have, that He will promote you above your fellows. And praise God, if you're the only one standing there with a covenant, that means you're going to be the biggest winner in the group because the Lord is on your side. And so he said, Jonathan said, let us go to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. I love that verse. There is no restraint to the Lord. There's no restraint how much God can work in my behalf. You say, well, you're already blessed more than so-and-so. Remember this, God does not grade on a curve. That's very important. Some people think, well, I'm going to be saved because I'm better than he is or she is. God doesn't grade on a curve. But he also doesn't reward on a curve. That's a big thing in my life. God doesn't look at me and say, well, Steve's already doing better than Joe Blow over here, so I can't bless him anymore. My blessing is in no way diminished by somebody else's lack. It's all between me and my Lord. We have a covenant relationship. And so there is no restraint on the Lord how big He can bless me, how often He can bless me, how much He can bless me. Well, what about so-and-so? So-and-so has absolutely nothing to do with my relationship with Almighty God. It's one-on-one. And so I am convinced it doesn't matter how big the enemy is or how numerous the enemy is. If the Lord is on my side, heaven's windows are open, the gate is open, the blessing is coming, the enemy is going to be destroyed, and praise God, I'm going to be blessed coming in and going out because I have this principle of faith. When it comes against me, I say, wait just a minute. It doesn't matter. There's no restraint on the Lord, by few or by many. It simply does not matter. God is going to bless me. Well, what about so-and-so? They say you don't deserve it, but they're not the ones doing the blessing. It's God. And God says, I deserve it, not because of all of my perfection, but because I am circumcised in a covenant with the Lord that says, I belong to the Lord, and the Lord takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. Look at somebody and say, the Lord wants to bless me, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. all of Joseph's brothers were against him. Every last one of his brothers were against him, with the exception of Benjamin, the baby. And he wasn't there yet. But all the other brothers were against him. It doesn't matter if there is a consensus. It doesn't matter if it's absolutely unanimous. When the Lord is on your side, it's the end of the story. The Lord is on your side. You don't have to account yourself to somebody. You don't have to explain why you're being blessed and they're not. You don't have to apologize for your blessing. You just say, the Lord is good all the time. The Lord is good all the time. He blesses me above my desires and understanding. Number four, this is a principle of faith that you need to get in your spirit. That falling or failing is not fatal. Falling or failing is not fatal. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Who a just man, a righteous man, falleth seven times. I don't care who you are, how long you've been living for God, how faithful you are in your attendance to the things of the Lord, how much scripture you read, how many prayers you say, how faithful you are to coming to God's house. There's going to be a time in your life where you will fall or you will fail, and you will know it more than anybody else. In fact, let me just give you some advice. There's too many people that syndicate their sorrows. There's a little couple on Facebook that I know, and I just follow them because they're very cute. And I used to know them when they were teenagers before they got married, and she's a cute little girl, and she got married, and he was a handsome little guy, and they got married, and they have, I think it's six kids. And so, you know, my heart just goes out to them. But she's now 40 years old. I knew her when she was just a little teenager. She's 40 years old, and she was the cutest little girl, and she's still beautiful after six kids. And her husband's still a really good-looking guy, and they pastor a little church somewhere. And so they're friends of mine, and I follow them. Well, she gets on there a few months ago, and she talks about having an affair. I just didn't even know that. Then she talks about her husband having an affair. Well, thank God. It's a few months later, and everything, as we used to say, is hunky-dory. The affairs are gone. They've repented. They're restored. They're living for God. But every time I see them on Facebook, I think they both had an affair. I just didn't need to know that. I'm not their pastor. Why would you put your junk on Facebook? I don't get it. God will forgive. And Sean preached that God has selective forgetfulness. He will forget things. But let me tell you about my brain is not that good. I just can't forget that. I look at her beautiful little face, and his handsome little face, and they're just all lovey-dovey now. I'm thinking, yeah, but y'all had an affair, both of you. One had an affair, and the other one had an affair to get back at him. That's all under the blood. I'm praising God for restoration. But do not syndicate your sorrow. Don't tell everybody your business. So what I'm saying is if you fall and if you fail, you might need to talk to your pastor. You might have one person, and these people better go through some kind of a screening, I promise you. I just don't know who it would be, but maybe you do have some such person, but I doubt it, that you can confide your deepest, darkest secrets. But let me warn you, they'll blackmail you. They might not ask for money, but they'll ask for something. They want you to do them a favor. You know I know. But the point is, when you fall and when you fail, you will be restored. But if you tell everybody, they're never going to forget it. Learn to take your troubles to Jesus. Learn to cast your cares on Him. Oh, we're not Catholic. We got so many Catholic friends, and I praise God for every good thing the Catholics do. But we don't have a confessional. We don't have to broadcast it. We don't have a newsletter that lists all your sins. I heard about a church in Fort Worth one time. They used to list people's sins on the bulletin board. Serious. One of those apostolic churches. They listed their sins on the, you know, that church is not in existence. They went out of business. I can see why. Friend, if you fail and you fall, it's tragic. But we all will make some kind of mistake in our life, and the degree of that failure will be greater in some than in others. But don't tell everybody, because I can promise you that a just man falleth seven times, he'll get up. But if that just man tells seven people, every time he falls, he tells somebody, they're going to do their best to put him back down again. Just tell it to Jesus. Put it under the blood. But let this be a real pillar in your faith, that even though I have failed God, I've failed myself, I've failed the body of Christ, praise God, I have risen again. And it is a new difficulty, but you can rebuild your faith and say, praise God, God's forgiveness is greater than my failure. God's restoration is greater than my mistake. And so, praise God, I want to tell you that I know that the Lord has restored me and that my falling and my failing is not fatal. Number five, God will deliver us out of every trial. You ever been through a trial? Did you ever feel like this trial is different than any I've ever had before? No, it ain't. You've been through a dozen trials, 100 trials. The devil tries to make you think that every trial is the omega. Every trial is the end. Every trial, this is going to be the destruction of you. No, it's not. The Bible teaches us, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, of whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's 2 Timothy 4:18. And then in 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this, 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God will deliver us out of every trial. This is literally a pillar of faith, a principle of faith that you build on. When you get this, you understand that your faith is intact, that your faith cannot be destroyed, no matter what the trial or the temptation is. It's difficult to discern which is most dangerous, trials or temptation. You say, well, what's the difference? Oh, trials are what the adversary puts upon you. Temptation is when you're drawn away by your own lust. You allow your appetite to desire something that's not spiritually or physically good for you. So it's difficult to discern which is the worst, a trial or a temptation. But regardless, the two verses that I've just given you tell us that our God will deliver us every trial, and he will deliver us out of every temptation. Praise God. It doesn't matter what it is, our God is able. But you put your faith in God. Put your faith in God. That God in no way, God will no way fail us. God in no way fail. You've got to have faith every day. Get up every day and say, the Lord is on my side. The Lord's got a purpose for my life. It doesn't matter how many are against me. God is for me. I'm going to overcome this thing. And you've got to realize that the devil is working on your brain, that your mind is the devil's playground. If you're going to be defeated, it's not going to be in your bones or in your limbs or in your eyes. It's going to be in your brain as you begin to think in your mind. And the moment you feel like that somehow the devil is greater than you are, remember what it said, we thought ourselves as grasshoppers, and so we became grasshoppers in their sight. You've got to get up in faith every day and say, praise God, I'm bigger than Goliath in the sight of God. God sees me as a giant, and he sees Goliath as a pygmy. God sees me as strong, and I've got to see myself as God sees me, because I've got faith that God has placed in me a supernatural spirit. God has placed in me a weaponry that is superior to anything the devil has got in his arsenal. I can overcome anything, anybody, any spirit, any circumstance. The Lord is with me, and I live by this every day. I have expectation. Rod Parsley coined the phrase, expectation is the breeding ground of a miracle. I expect big things to happen every day. Every day I'm on an Easter egg hunt, praise God. I'm just looking for where the blessing is hidden because I know somewhere God's going to get it to me. Man, I see all those little kids out there at Easter when Pastor Brandon has hundreds of kids, hundreds of Easter eggs. He says some of them's got money. It makes me so mad about my little childhood. I used to get a little chocolate rabbit and bite its ears off. That's all I ever got. I didn't know they had Easter eggs with money in them. Oh, but I found out in God it's the same thing. I'm not looking to be defeated. I am planning on being victorious every day of my life. I get up every day hunting for the blessing of the Lord. I know some days it's going to be disguised. Some days it's going to have an ugly voice. And it's going to have a frown. But praise God, after a while, I'm going to turn that frown to a smile. I'm going to temper its voice. Oh, praise God, the Lord is going to cause it to be good in my life. I'm living from faith to faith and victory to victory. Praise God. I've told you before, when I was a little boy, I used to go fishing by myself. I was by myself a lot on the farm, and we had a little creek called Dismal Creek. That was the name of it, Dismal. That was not a very good name. That was called Dismal Creek, D-I-S-M-A-L, Dismal Creek. And I'd go down there as a little boy, and I didn't take one pole. You know, I made my own fishing pole, just cut them down with a hatchet and just a little stick and put a string and a hook and a fish on, put a worm on it. I'd maybe have 10 of them in the water. I just wanted to make sure I got any fish that happened to swim by that didn't miss out. I'm still the same way today. I get up every day and bait the hooks, praise God. Say, let me see which way the Lord's going to bless me today. Is the Lord going to bless me by one of the saints? Is the Lord going to bless me by one of my enemies? You know, some of my enemies in life have been my greatest blessing. I mean, and I've told you before, my favorite thing is when somebody says, I don't know why. Oh, that's my favorite phrase. I know God is going to bless me by somebody that is unwilling. Somebody that is unwilling. I told you about the little lady that circulated the petition to keep us from building this church. And when we went to that city hall over at Live Oak, they were going to vote that we couldn't build this church here on this freeway because it was zoned residential at that time. And so the vote was going against. All of a sudden, she stood up and she started crying. And she said, I don't know why, but I've changed my mind. Lady, you're the one that circulated the petition. She was crying. She said, oh, I don't know why, but I think the Reverend ought to have his church. And they voted, and it was a deadlock, and the mayor voted for the church, and praise God, we won. And we walked out in front of the city hall, and she said to me, I don't know why I did that. Oh, I just love it when they don't know why. I got a God that can melt the sinner's heart. I got a God that can put a thumb on my enemy's head. I've got a God that can cause men to give into my bosom. It doesn't have to be good men or saved men or my friends. It's just men, and it can be women too. He's an equal opportunity God. He can use anybody to bless me, praise God. So I get up every morning saying, thank God. Have I got all my principles of faith in order? The Lord's got a plan for my life. It doesn't matter who's against me. Oh, God's going to get it to me somehow today. And it's very seldom that I go to bed and say, I didn't get my blessing today. Almost every day of my life when I lay down, I say, this happened and that was good. This happened and that was a blessing. Didn't see that one coming, but God brought that to me. The Lord wants to do that. But you can't do that with just flash faith. You've got to get principles of faith in your life that you can live by. Every day of your life, you get up saying, God is good. He is the divine architect. He designed heaven and earth. But you know what? He made me in his image. And when he made me in his image, he didn't make a plan with a dead end. He made a plan for me to succeed. And I might be going zigzag, zigzag. But the truth is, I'm headed for the palace, the Lord. Lord's on my side. My enemies can't stop me. My brothers can't stop me. The pit can't stop me. Jail can't stop me. Potiphar's wife, ooh, she must have been pretty. But Potiphar's wife can't stop me, praise God, because God has got a big plan for my life. And to every one of you in this building, realize that God's got a big plan in your life. He's waiting for your cooperation. He's waiting for you to say yay and amen to his promise. He's waiting for you to get up in the morning and say, hey, the Lord is on my side. I'm going to go Easter egg hunting today. I'm going to find out what God has got for me, but it's going to be better than it was yesterday, because he's not an anticlimactic day. He is a God that said the latter house is always greater than the former. The latter rain is always bigger than the former. It's going to get bigger and better in your life in Jesus' name. I got to wrap this up. Number six, the devil's best shot will fail. The devil just sits around, and the demons come around. Said, what are you doing? He said, I am forming a weapon for Steve Fender. Look at this. He said, this weapon is unique. I've got it sharpened. I've got it poisoned. This poison dart of the devil. I've got everything ready. But praise God, this is one of the principles of faith that I live on. And that is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee. He didn't say there wasn't going to be lots of weapons formed. The bigger your success is, the more weapons that are formed against you. The devil doesn't spend a lot of time working on losers. He's forming weapons for winners. And so he didn't say there's not going to be any weapons formed against you. You just need to see, look at it and say, oh, that's a nice weapon. And I know it's formed just for me. I am actually very much flattered that the devil would form an enemy with my a weapon with my name on it. That's just pretty amazing. Just very amazing. But he said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Hallelujah. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I can promise you, if you are headed for success, the devil's going to try to ambush you. He's got a weapon that he's forming against you, but this has to be a principle of your faith, that no weapon, no weapon, no matter how sophisticated it is, it can come from a nuclear armorer. It does not matter where it comes from. It can be a 2018 model, brand new, made just for you. That weapon that is formed against you will not prosper. And seven, this is number seven, the devil, oh, I believe this with all of my heart, the devil will inadvertently help us accomplish God's plan for our life. Many of my blessings come from the devil. Now, he doesn't mean for them to be blessings. He just doesn't know the power of God. He just doesn't know the power of God. When we were trying to buy all this property, it wasn't an easy deal. We weren't exactly the most popular people in the neighborhood when we decided to build a church out here on land that had been in the same family for about four generations. And so there was this one house over here, this brother, this man, he sold it to a guy just because he was moving, going out and build another house. He sold somebody just because he didn't want me to have it. And he financed it for the guy. This made him an amazing deal. That guy put a motorcycle in the living room. He knocked holes in the sheetrock. He did all kinds of crazy things. And then last of all, he quit making his payments. And that same guy that had tried to sell that house so the church couldn't get it came to me, and he said, Reverend, you know, I sold that house. I said, yes, I know you did. He said, I had to repossess it. He said, would you like to buy it? I said, yes, I would. He said, here's the price. I said, I'll take it. Didn't even ask him to come down. He's already lowering. I thought he'd ask me. And I said, I'll take it. Just like, oh, he said, no, Reverend, I can't do that. He said, he's got it all messed up. He said, I want to put new sheetrock in there. I want to paint the house. I want to put new carpet in it. I want to fix that house up like it was new. He spent about a month working on the house. He had it just like a new house, his house right over here. Man, he got it so fixed. We went in there. Now, this is the guy that just tried to keep it from me. We went in there to close. The day we closed, he was getting ready to close, getting ready to sign. He said to the people of the entitled company, he said, wait just a minute. I've changed my mind. I thought, oh, my. He said, I'm charging the reverend too much for this. He said, knock $14,000 off that price. They said, well, we're going to have to redo all the paperwork. He said, that's all right. We can wait. So we sat there while they retyped that contract. He came down $14,000. You know, that man became a friend of this church. He's still a Catholic guy, but he's a friend of this church. He came by a couple of years ago and just left a donation for the church at the front. Didn't even come and say, just left a donation. I went out there and picked it up, a check. I forgot how much it was. He said, I just wanted to bless the church. Friend, if you'll hold your peace, if you've got the real principles of faith, you don't have to whip people because you know that God's going to take care of it. You know the Lord's on your side. You know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You know God's got a plan for your life, and that's to prosper and not evil. You know that. And so the Bible said in Genesis chapter 50, I just love it. The Bible said it this way, and I paraphrase it. But he's talking about Joseph, when Joseph was finally there, and he was handing out all the goodies, Twinkies for everybody in Egypt and Israel. Now, all of his brothers were there, and his daddy was there. Everybody was there, and he was in charge of all the wealth of Egypt now. Through all those trials, he was so in charge. He was so promoted by the Lord. He said, what the devil meant for evil, I paraphrase, the Lord turned to good. There's somebody in this building right now that you're just days away from God's plan coming to fruition in your life. But make sure you don't have flesh faith, emotional faith, that you just don't have it for a second. But praise God, you've got planks of faith. You've got principles of faith. You've got pillars of faith, stuff that you live by every day. You can't be hot and cold. The Bible said if you're double-minded, you won't receive anything from the Lord. You got to get up every morning. You can't say one day, well, the Lord's for me. And then you get up and say, well, the Lord's against me today. I used to have a man work for me, and he was a Baptist man. And he was a wonderful guy, one of the best employees I ever had on the ranch. And he came from Wisconsin. And he watched us on TV. We were on TV every day then. He'd watch us on TV. He was scared to come to church. And his mother was quite elderly. And she came and got to watch him. And she'd say to him, said, take me to his church. Take me to Steve's church. He said, no, we're not going. I'm afraid to go to his church. I was with him almost every day. But he was afraid to walk in this building. He thought something spooky was going to happen to him. But he had a saying. He'd say, the Lord, now he's a Baptist guy, he'd say, the Lord sure been bad to me today. There's a lot of religious people that think one day God blesses them, one day God's bad to them. See, they don't have principles of faith. God ain't never been bad to me one second of my life. He's a good God all day. So I get up every morning, you know what I say? The Lord's got a plan for my life. Let me see how he's going to work it out. All things are going to work together for my good. It doesn't matter how many enemies are against me, praise God. Oh, God will take those same enemies and he will bless me. It doesn't matter what the devil's got planned. That weapon will not prosper. And whatever the devil's trying to do today, praise God, it's going to turn out to be a blessing to me because the Lord has a way of converting the attacks of the devil until they are an absolute an ambush of blessing in my life. Would you stand on your feet right now and just lift your hands? And would you make this confession? I am going to make sure, just make this confession. I am going to make sure that I have the principles of faith in my life and I'm going to live by them every day. I wish you would take time, and you can go online or wherever they do this stuff, and you can listen to this sermon again. I wish you'd get these seven things and just write them down. And every day of your life, you'd say, these are my seven principles of faith. It doesn't matter what's happening. When the doctor says something negative, I still got these foundation principles of faith. When my boss gets on me, I still got them. When something doesn't work out in my family, I've still got them. And praise God, you will see that the Lord is a good God. The Lord will come through for you. There's somebody in this building right now. Right now, you're in the pit. You're in the prison. You're being attacked by somebody that should love you, some family member or something. And I want to give you a word from the Lord tonight. And that is, you are very, very close to the palace. In other words, you're very close to God bringing to pass in your life what His plan is. And that's the reason why the devil is fighting you so stringently and so tough and so hard, is because he knows that you're on the very verge of stepping into the palace and getting the prosperity and the blessing and the fulfillment, and God's plan is about to come to your fruition. If you're in this building room right now and you realize that there are people that are fighting you for no reason, there are people saying things against you that are not true, you ought to take those as signposts that you are well on the road to total victory in your life, greater than it's ever been.